Blog Talk Radio.
When you begin to tell the Lord, I will obey, will you begin to tell the Lord, I will obey? Sing a song unto the Lord. Tell him, I will obey. It's time to rise up and shine for the glory of God. Rabba she toroboshe. I will obey, Father. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We want to thank you and welcome you to another broadcast of Saturday with the Word of God. This is Prophetess Teresa Dox, and I am excited and delighted to be here with you on this wonderful evening in October. You know, when you began to tell the Lord, no matter what it costs, I will obey. Oh, yes. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this hour. We thank you, Father, for what you have done. And, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Father, we just ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would cover the lines, Father God, cover the hearers, cover me, Lord God, with the blood of Jesus. Hide me, Lord God, behind the cross and use me, Father, as an oracle of God, a vessel, Lord God, for your glory. Shine through me, Lord God, and you shall get the glory out of my life. You shall get the glory out of everything that I do and everything that I say. So, Father, I thank you this evening. I thank you for what you have already done. And, Lord God, I thank you for what you're going to do. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask you, Lord God, that you would open up the minds, the hearts of your people who are called by your name, Lord God. Let the blood of Jesus that was shed for the remission of our sin, of all sin, Father, let that power be upon your people. And Father, we just thank you right now that you're with us. And we thank you, Father, that you're a keeper of your people. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we say amen and glory to God. You know, when you began to tell the Lord, I will obey. I will obey. I want you to be blessed with this song, and we're going to go forth. when we make a decision to just tell the Lord, I will obey. Every day is a new beginning. Every day there's a fresh start. You know, the enemy wants you to feel like you'd have messed up so bad. And there's no hope. But when we begin to tell the Lord, I will obey. We're going to start from today. We're going to start from where we are right now. That's the type of God that we serve. That we can start from right where we are. And we can tell him, I will obey. You start right there. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. You know, I am just so excited. Because I understand that when I tell my daddy that I will obey, that he receives me unto himself. And every day I began to try it again. And when you stay on course, it'll get easier and easier. So you just tell him, I will obey. I will obey you, Father. Rise and shine, for his glory has come. For the Lord has given me this word for his people. Rise and shine. For my glory has come. It's your time to shine for his glory. It's your time to rise up. It is your time to be used of the Father. I want you to get your Bibles out, get the Word of God, and let's go into the Word of God, because in the Word there's everything that we need. The Lord said to tell my people to rise up and shine. Get up in the morning and shine for his glory. Let your day begin with a smile on your face. It doesn't matter because the government has shut down. Because the government of the kingdom, our ruler, our chief legislator, the CEO of the kingdom, he never shuts down. And as God's official, we are his law enforcement agents. And we have to stay on our post. It's required of thee. It's not by accident that the tangible government shuts down. We don't stop. We don't shut down. We keep moving into his the place of blessing where God wants us to be, where God wants you to be. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to shine for God. It's time to shine. And I'm going to encourage you to get your Bibles out. And we're going to start at Isaiah 60. I bet you already knew that we were coming from Isaiah 60. And I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. So it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter about the dark days and the lonely nights. It doesn't matter. We're going to start from right here at this point. Verse 1. Arise, shine. For thy light is come, And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and glow darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Listen to the Lord. He says, surely we are living in the time of darkness. And gross darkness, listen, and the government shall shut down. Darkness, murder, etc. And this is Isaiah speaking. He was describing what is right now. And then in the midst of all of that, he's telling his people to shine. See, we can't be part of the darkness, not when we're shining for God's glory. But Isaiah was talking about rise up. Rise up out of that dark place in your mind, that dark place in your spirit where you feel like it's not going to happen. You're not going to get your breakthrough. You're not going to get what you've been asking God for. I want to serve notice on everyone that hear my voice. Arise, for thy light is come. You're going to begin to see some doors open. You're going to begin to see the manifestation of the things you've been asking God for, because you're going to begin to shine for his glory. It's not going to be about your glory, your ministry, your way, your will. It's going to be all about him. So when we make a commitment to rise and shine for the glory of God, and we tell him, I will obey. Not my will, but thy will. And I want to play a portion of this sermon. And I want you to listen carefully to what the man of God is saying. It's straight from heaven. Straight from heaven.
Most powerful means devised for keeping people in their place and maintaining the status quo. And if you know anything about history, you will attest to the fact that the dominant culture has always used religion to further its own disposition and attitude. I'm going to the mountain. You know, I can hoop anytime. It robbed their lives with ritual, and it dignified their tears into prayer. And his thoughts were, it gave social order metaphysical inevitability. And so the world, if it's to be changed, he figures that religion had to go. Can I take it further? A little more tension. The abolition, I quote, he says, of religion as the illusory of happiness of the people is at the same time a demand for their real happiness. The demand to give up the illusions of their condition is a demand to give up a condition that requires illusion. So criticism has been plucked imaginary flowers from the chains so man may throw off the chains and pluck real flowers. So religion is only the illusory sun around which man revolves so long as he does not revolve around himself. Now, unquote. Now, I wish Karl Marx had stayed alive long enough to see how Stalin interpreted his points of view. And he should have searched the Bible, because the Bible is not a place where people just accept things as they are. But the Bible opens up with Mesopotamia being overrun, and opens up with God saying to Pharaoh, I need you to let my people go. I feel it here. As I looked at that in light of where we are, I began to wonder, what is it that is so wrong about the way we approach the things of God? Is it that I'm to sit here in my life and simply wait until the breaks come? Or am I responsible in some manner or other to get up from where I am and make some things happen in my own existence? I say that because we have become so easily illusioned by believing that we can just sit around and believe God with no action of our own, and things just fall into place. And so consequently, when we wake up and discover that nobody's going to make it happen for us, we end up with bitterness and sadness, because we felt like, well, I just believe Jesus, rub the Bible like a genie, and ask the genie of the lamp to come out and work for me. Now, can I take it like I feel it? You see, the problem with the world is not God. The problem with the world is man. Because we have not lived up to our responsibility. And we have shifted the blame to everybody but ourselves. I want to say to you, African-American folk, Barack Obama ain't going to change nothing for you if you don't change yourself. I feel a preach coming on here. Ooh, I feel it here. I feel it. I feel it. Let me bring you up to speed. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are not just a mere series of historical narratives, as I thought earlier. But if you check, you will find they are a highly structured inquiry into responsibility. It's interesting because it begins with the individuals Adam and Eve. Then it moves to Cain and Abel. It then moves and continues with two stories of society. The first one is the flood, and the second one is the Tower of Babel. Now, the first and the last, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tower, are boundaries that have to be honored between what is permitted and what is forbidden. The boundary, obviously, in the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was incidentally standing right beside the tree of life. And what God says is, there is a distinction between you and I. And I'm going to express that distinction by telling you what is permitted and what is forbidden. It is now your responsibility, since you have freedom of choice, to either choose to operate within the parameters of my commandment or to do what you want to do on your own. If you do what I want you to do, then you'll be blessed. If you do what you decide to do opposite of what I want you to do, you got to live with the consequences. I'm preaching to myself. Can somebody give me a mirror? Can I take my time? Yeah, I don't know. Now Eve struggled with the devil or the serpent for the first six verses of chapter 3 of Genesis. She argued back and forth with the serpent as to the significance of what it is she was about to do, and he argued God's position and God's attitude, and of course she just argued back and forth, and finally she capitulated because she saw that it was something to be desired to make one wise, good for food and pleasant to the eyes. Now, brothers, I ask myself, what was Adam's problem? Because Eve at least argued for six verses. Before she capitulated. But she just gave it to her husband. And he did eat. He didn't even argue. Now, Eve, what are we doing, baby? Remember, God said we shouldn't do that. Now, I'm just wondering, if you please, that we can be so caught up. Can I preach like this? Come here. I need both of you to help me. I need some help. You see, as long as man followed God, everything was in place. Because by time God made the woman, the man already had everything in place. He had everything, because when you follow God, he takes care of your business. And it was man's responsibility to follow God. And it was woman's responsibility to follow man. But when the man took the fruit from the woman, turn around. Now the man is following the woman, and God don't follow nobody. See, when God set the boundaries, he said, interesting that you have stood beside life. And many times in our decisions we have chosen the negative over the positive because it just looked better. And anytime you operate with God, you don't simply operate by sensual perception, because a whole lot of packages look good on the outside, but they ain't got nothing to give you on the inside.
Amen. And we just want to just clarify the man of God when he said, man, follow God, and the woman, follow the man. Well, we understand that's in a marriage relationship. So the wife, follow the husband. Not just woman following man. Because you'll have all kind of women following men. So we want to make that clear. The woman should submit to her husband as he follow Christ. You don't want to submit to any man that's not following Christ, any husband. So I just wanted to make that plain, you know. But as we understand how important, it's very important that we obey. And that's why we were playing the prophetic song, I Will Obey. You will obey God. We will obey your orders, Father.
Tell me, I won't.
That's why it's so important that we have a relationship with God. So when he speaks, we can hear his voice. And a stranger, we will not follow. And as I was reading in Isaiah, and I know the man of God was coming from Genesis, and he's talking about in the beginning where things got twisted. But we want to bring you up to today. We're in a place where we can just tell God about everything. And we can release it unto him and rise up and shine. Even though darkness covered the face of the earth, it only covered the face of our lives when the light of God is not shining. When there's an absence of the natural light of God that has been given to us. And in the absence of the light of God, then everything will be dark. But when we shine with our lifestyles, when we shine with what we say and what we do and how we forgive and how we love and how we help and how we serve, you're shining for his glory. You know, when you really think about it, as Isaiah was talking about the Spirit, I'm going to 61, but let me go back to 60. When he said, he's talking about the glory of the church. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness. Jesus. See, the word of God is already talking about what's to come. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And verse 3 reads, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the king of the brightness of thy rising. So if we got the light of God upon us, if he's shining through us, what are we waiting for? You know, preachers and pastors, they're preaching. There's more preaching now than it has ever been. But the Holy Ghost message is not being put out there. What God is trying to say to his people is not being received unto the people. You get these watered down messages to please people who refuse to live right. Make it sound good, make it feel good. And we're losing our children. We're losing God's people. Because there's no conviction in the lives of God's people. We're not taking the word that God give us, and we're not applying it to our life. Our mouth is saying one thing, but our actions are different. But the God that we serve is so merciful. He's so faithful. He still says, rise up and shine. For his light has come. We're in a blessed hour. We're in a blessed season. We are in a blessed time. There's no limits to what God want to do with us and through us. Let me encourage you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I pray that you're going with me, verse 3, and I'm going to read 3 through 5. Glory to God. That's 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. And the Word of God says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of man, of men, but in the power of God. I venture to say that those whose sermons are no more than a recap of the daily news. Are we really ministering through the power of Almighty God? See, there is no fear of Almighty God of heaven that have called us by the way we're preaching, by the way we're teaching, by the way we're living. We should be working out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. To have that awesome respect for God with a sense of responsibility for the souls of the people. We let them just go on and do whatever they want to do. And we're not thinking about that they may not rise up the next day. You know, think about like Paul. Paul, he preached with demonstrations of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the power of God. He was not preaching only the wisdom of man. Because the Bible says that the wisdom is pure. Foolishness in the mind of God. Whoa. We want to be so wise. But we need to be able to rise up and shine in that place with God, that we can minister to others. And when I say in that place with God, where you understand that you are a servant of the Most High God, that you are a legislator of the King, and you can begin to say, "I come in the name of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ," where we can come in his name and we can begin to say whom I am and whom I serve in his place. What a confidence to be able to say that I'm coming in his name. I speak the heart of God. You know, is there so much and so many failed men and women of God? that we don't begin to realize that if we're not called to a place where we are convicted when the enemy tried to entice us, that we're not comfortable in our sin, that we're disturbed in our sin, because we know that there are souls that is depending on us. You know, we find so much going on. When Isaiah was talking about gross darkness in the world, false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, there, you know, I heard a man of God say, if I ever want to get rich, I'll just start preaching. Isn't that something to say? So when we began to realize that in the gross darkness that we can shine for his glory, because if you've already read the end of the story, we understand that no matter what we deal with in this place of gross darkness, it's high time to rise up and let the light of Jesus Christ shine out into a world of darkness. In the midst of confusion, there's a grace that God will put up on his people. There's a peace that God will allow to grace you, that you won't be moved by what you see or hear. You're only moved by the word of God. And I believe that is because God truly loves us. And he knew that we were going to need that grace. He knew that we were going to need that anointing to be still and see the salvation of the Lord, that we would not move until he tell us to move. But of course, when the Bible says stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, it don't mean stand still and don't do anything. The lepers were healed when Jesus said, be thou me made whole. Listen, they didn't just miraculously become healed. The Bible says that they were healed as they went. So as we are found doing, we get healed. Some people say, "Well, I don't want to do that because I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I don't want to be no hypocrite." Well, guess what? You have a responsibility to God, and your healing can come as you are found doing. See, the enemy want to push you away. He want to make you feel like, okay, well, I'm not worthy. The devil is a liar. There's an anointing that God will put on you to make certain things happen. And as they went, they were healed. They were going to tell what had happened to them. Now, listen, how could you be going to tell what has happened? And the Bible said they were healed as they went. So they went in faith. We live by faith. So not only was gross darkness, that gross darkness means sin, it continued to plague us and destroy the church from within. And we allow people to say and do things inside the church, outside the church, that cause us to feel like we're not worthy. But when you begin to allow the church of God to be built up in you, this just came to me, will the real church stand up to tell the truth? That's the name of the program. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I know some of my listeners probably remember that programmed to tell the truth. I want to encourage you in the Lord tonight. And I want you to know that there's a church inside of you. And it's not just a building, but it's the real church that's living inside of you. You are the house of God. And we need to have respect for the house of God. And we still need to come in, with the spirit of truth. So we need to deal with ourselves. The Bible says, and worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want you to get what I'm saying. You can get your breakthrough in worship. Now, we're the church, and we are the house of God. We go to the temple in the natural, but we are the house of God. We're responsible for what we put in our bodies. We're responsible. It's our reasonable service unto the Lord. So when the word of God is saying, rise and shine, the word is, God is speaking and saying, rise up and know that the light has come. We don't have to be in sin. We don't have to be in gross darkness, even though the world around us, even though there's unforgiveness inside of us, even though there's a shortcoming, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But right here in Isaiah, he's telling us to rise up. Listen, let me take you to 61, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, upon you. Guess what? Because the Lord has anointed me. Anointed you to preach good tidings, to talk about the word of God. He has already anointed us to do so. Because of this gross darkness in the world, God wants us to be the light that caused the darkness to flee. If you cut all the lights off in your house right now, or wherever you may be, and you light one light, the darkness will flee every single time. Every single time. I want you to turn to Numbers. Numbers, verse, let's turn to chapter 10, verse 5. Numbers, chapter 10, verse 5. When you sound the trumpet to move on, the tribes on the east side of the tabernacle will break camp and move forward. When you sound the trumpet a second time, the tribes on the south will follow. You must sound short blasts to signal moving on. And I believe that the trumpet has sound. The time for the camping, wandering around, has ended. Being stagnated has ended. Not knowing what to do has ended. Not knowing how you're going to do this and how you're going to do that and how you're going to get here and how you're going to get. I believe it has ended. It's time to rise up and move forward. God has been moving his bride forward since the day of Pentecost. And there have been times of rest and times of moving forward. See, the Lord has been moving ahead at a various speed to restore He wants to restore the gifts of the Spirit to his church. And we can't deny the impact of the move when the Pentecostal revival, over 600,000 people. It was in the 1900s. It was a revival. We need to be revived. We need the breath of God to be blown upon us. Rabba Shetorobushe. Receive the breath of God. Receive. I'm going to play just a couple more minutes of this excerpt.
Freedom to choose. And what God says now is, I have created you and I have made you with the capacity to understand who I am. Which means if I can manifest myself to you, then I know who I have made. We have run from responsibility on failing to understand that whenever you are given responsibility, it's respect. Because God respects you enough cognitively and intellectually, and he respects what he has created to reveal himself to the extent that he respects who he creates. You see, I can love you and not respect you because you don't take care of your business. But the more responsibility you can stand up to is the more respect I'll give to you. You see, a whole lot of folk want to be...
Stop. Let's stop right there. They were healed as they went, as they were found doing. And as a man of God said, I can respect you as you stand up to your responsibility. Listen, God is awesome. There's work to be doing. There's people that their salvation is in your hands. You have been assigned to speak a word over certain people. You have been assigned to do a job, to do some work. You have been assigned to do some work for the kingdom. And when you rise up and shine, rise up knowing that all is well. Rise up and decree and declare that it's already done. Rise up and see that thy glory has come. You don't take no for an answer. You know, I was ministering to a group of people the other day, and one of the persons said to me, well, how do you keep going? You know, how do you keep moving in God? Because people, the enemy will come at you, and the enemy will try to distract you. But when you know what you know, and know who sent you, and know why you're rising up shining, you don't take no for an answer. You don't take no for an answer. Because you know your purpose. You know your assignment. You're not confused. And when you know who you are, you will get the respect that you need, that's required for you to move forward in God. Don't let no one tell you that you can't do it. Because the greater one is inside of you. You know, man of God told me before, those that know don't ask, and those that ask don't know. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged in the Lord. to know that His glory is upon you. And receive the breath of God. Just receive it. Just wear it. And hear the trumpets blowing and calling your name. The scriptures say that we move from glory to glory. See, we're not saved to remain in the same glory. We enter into, but rather we are saved to enter into the very image of Christ. See, that's a new glory that awaits for those who will heed to the sound of the trumpet and arise. When you hear the trumpet blowing, you rise up. Rabbi Shay, I serve notice on you tonight. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness, in other words, shall cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. So you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be nervous that you're going to fail. You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to get that job. You're not going to get the car. You're not going to be able to preach that sermon. Or you're not going to be able to get that house. You're not going to be able to get that 401k. You don't have to be nervous. You trust God and say, thy glory has come. So in order for us to move forward, we have to arise. The Hebraic word for arise is zarek, which means birth forth. See, when I was a child, I used to watch these movies about different farms where people lived on farms. And, you know, it used to be like these, on the farm, they would use these dams to block off streams of water that would flow like across the farm. And when I used to see that water flowing, you know, I thought it was fun. You know, I'm thinking, okay, that would be nice to have a flow of water in your backyard. And they would try to stop the stream from flowing into the farmland. But it was hard to do it. They would put big rocks and sand, and you would see all kinds of things to block that flow of water from coming. But the power of that water flowing, it was hard for them to stop it. And eventually, you know, it would burst open. The water would overtake whatever they would put there. And sometimes our structure, the way that we are built, the way that we do things, God wants His water, the Word, to birth forth out of us, and that we admit that we need to be reestablished by His authority again. And in order for us to change, in order for things to happen, in order for that dam of water to burst forth, we have to be willing to say, Lord, I will obey. I will obey. Let His glory shine upon you. Let the dam of water burst forth. Let the flow of the Spirit be seen again in your life. Guess what? I call it revival. The flow of the Spirit was never meant to be dammed up, but rather to find its own course in our life, that we would extend the kingdom. And the water reflects the light. And it can be seen miles away. People can see you and they just know that the glory of God is shining on you. So I want you to be encouraged tonight and know that God has purpose for you, that God has assigned you to do some things in this life that only you can do. And in order to do it, we have to be in the right place at the right time and doing the will of the Father. Glory to God. We begin to tell him, I will obey. Use me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I want to reclaim that mountain. I want to take the land. My Redeemer lives. He lives. He lives through me. He lives through you. Let him live through your life. Let him smile upon you again. Take authority over every obstacle that have dammed up the flow, that have caused the anointing not to flow, that have caused doors not to open. Receive it. And just tell the devil, there's an anointing in the sanctuary of your heart. There is an anointing that God wants to use through you. He wants to cause you to press in, to press in. I'm going to play this last song, and we're going to get ready to end the preaching moment, but I'm going to play some excerpts of some other teachings. There is an anointing in the sanctuary of your heart. Jesus. I know that God is here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you're all-knowing, Father. We thank you that there's no lack in you, Father. And we know, Lord God, that our Redeemer lives, Father. So, Father, we just ask you right now that you would allow your people, Father, to just rest in you. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I just want to encourage you to rest in him. Just rest in him. And as you rest in the Lord, begin to know that he will speak. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. Let him direct you. Let him cause you to spring forth. And when he speaks, you just begin to move. Move out in faith. Just do it. Some people say, that's crazy. But that's the type of God that we serve. Not tradition. He just gives us direction. In the name of Jesus. Well, we're going to get ready to close out the broadcast. But God has smiled upon me. God has smiled upon you, and he has set us free. Rise up and see God's glory. Rise up. Let it manifest what's inside of you. Hold your head up. You are a vessel of honor. Hold your head up and be used of the Father. You begin to say, I affect and enforce God's original plan and purpose over my life. I decree and declare that the battle is not mine, but is yours, Father. I place myself the armor of God upon me. Let your truth cover my loins, Father. Let the breastplate of righteousness cover my heart. And let the gospel of peace cover my feet. Let the shield of faith, let the shield be my defensive weapon. And let it offensively cover my body. Let the helmet of salvation, Father, let it cover my head. Let the sword of the Spirit, Rabba Sheto Robo Sha Te Lokose, which is the word of God, put it in my heart, Father. Lord Jesus, let me wear the robe of righteousness. And let the glory of God be my reward. And right now, Father, I decree and declare that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. I pull down every stronghold. I cast down every vain imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, let my thoughts be subject unto your lordship. Father, we agree with heaven tonight. And we totally obey your words, Father. Father, I speak that your anointing shall destroy every yoke and that our souls and our spirits are free. Free to soar. Free to shine for your glory. Free to move. Let your divine anointing rest upon us, God. In the name of Jesus. And I decree and declare that healing is our portion. Let us be spirit filled, Father, in the name of Jesus. I nullify any diabolical plans that's against anyone on this line. And I decree and declare that we are above and not beneath. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for manifestation of your will over our life. We thank you, Father, that you're going to rule. You're going to super rule. And, Father, we decree and declare right now that every angelic undertaking, everything, Father, that you have assigned us to do, that we're going to move forward. We thank you for reinforcement. We thank you for the word of God. Father, you said in Psalms 103 and 20 that the angels will excel in strength, that will protect us, Father, will protect our property, will protect us personally. So, Father, we thank you right now. And right now I just decree and declare that we shall run over troops and leap over walls. Rabbi Shaitan, you are our God. And we're girdled up with your strength. Our family is girdled up with your strength. And we're made perfect in you, Father. And our feet is like hind feet. Rabbi Shaitan, give us, Father, what we stand in need of so we can do your work. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you even teach our hands to war. Teach our fingers, God, to fight. And grant us, God, supernatural strength. Grant us, God, supernatural abilities. So that when our arms move forth, that the enemy will be defeated. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. The devil is defeated. And God is exalted, and Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. We want to thank you once again to just coming on and being with us tonight. Rise up and shine, for his glory has already come. Be in expectation of doors being open. Be in expectation of every need being met. And I prophesy over you tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to take these that's on this line, Father, and they would all be able to say, God did it. That he's going to give you the desires of your heart as you obey his leading. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're going to end the broadcast. And I want to even make the brief announcement. We will be having our Prophetic Intercessor Conference once again in the Detroit, Michigan area in the month of April. It will be, I believe, the third weekend of April. We have some awesome teachers that's going to be with us. We have some awesome authors that's coming forth. We're certainly being blessed. And we thank you for even those that sow into the ministry. We thank you for sowing because you have been a blessing indeed. And we want you to know we appreciate you. As we are moving forward in God, I just want to encourage you in the Lord as you prepare now to attend the conference, that you will be blessed. You will be blessed. You will come forth with those testimonies. You will be able to say God did it. So again, we thank you. We're going to end the broadcast, but again, those that want to stay on, we will be playing completion of the men of God. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. and just know that Jesus is Lord. Let his glory shine upon you. Amen, amen, amen.
And what God says now is, I have created you and I have made you with the capacity to understand who I am. Which means if I can manifest myself to you, then I know who I have made. We have run from responsibility, failing to understand that whenever you are given responsibility, it's respect. Because God respects you enough cognitively and intellectually, and he respects what he has created to reveal himself to the extent that he respects who he creates. You see, I can love you and not respect you because you don't take care of your business. But the more responsibility you can stand up to is the more respect I'll give to you. You see, a whole lot of folk want to be respected when they're not responsible. I wish I had the time. You see, God is going to hold us accountable. And the only way to hold anybody accountable is because they are responsible. You can't hold somebody accountable who is not responsible. Notice God calls Abraham. He's just going down to Sodom. I should talk about that later. He's going down to Sodom, and he says to Abraham, he says to his angels, I can't keep this from Abraham. And he puts Abraham in a position where Abraham is forced now to pray for the inhabitants of Sodom, even though he knew most of them were ungodly. But he put him in a place where he had to pray. And here's what Abraham says. Abraham says, shall not the God of all the earth do right? In other words, he is now pointing his finger at God and says, you cannot destroy the righteous with the wicked. After all, you are the God of all the earth. And God says, it's okay. It's okay, because I'm going to make Abraham a father of many nations. And I'm going to have him to expostulate my will to his children's children's children. Which means I want him to hold me responsible because I'm getting ready to hold him responsible. You cannot tell me that God is flowing through your being. And you have to sit around and wait for somebody else to make your life work for you. If you get up and partner with God, you can let the enemy know, I don't have to compromise with anybody to have my life work. God and I will make it work. And if you come up in my life, you are not a necessity, so you better be a benefit. Y'all sit down. We got some work to do. Then we acquire moral responsibility. And that is the knowledge that choice has its limits. Everything we can do, we may not do. And as you get more money, you have to live by that rule. Because everything you feel like doing, you can't do. So even though you have a choice, you've got to discover that choice has its limits. Cain, you are your brother's keeper. And because you can kill him doesn't mean you should kill him. Then later we discovered collective responsibility. And that is, we are not by ourselves. We are a part of a family. We are a part of a community. Which means I am expecting you to hold up your part of the bargain as I hold up mine, and God's standing back and he's watching. Let me just take it further to make it clearer. The first battle that Israel had to fight was against Egypt at the Red Sea. And they were so petrified that they wanted to go back in. And Moses said to them, the enemy you see today, you will never see again. And oh, the church just got happy and fell out, and God just wiped Pharaoh out. They said that God drowned Pharaoh's army. And some smart aleck said that he could not have drowned them in the Red Sea because it was only 6 inches of water. And I said, well, that's really a miracle then, if he could have drowned all them folk in 6 inches of water. Now you would think that we would have easy sailing. The Lord is fighting our battles. The next battle, when they came to Rephidim and the Amalekites attacked them, now God said, I'm not just going to let you be bystanders, because you have an intellect, you have capacity, you have ability. I gave it to you. And I'm going to ask Moses to raise his hands. Now, as long as his hands are up, you're going to have the victory. And God knew he couldn't keep his hands up that long, and so his hands fell. And when his hands fell, they began to lose. But God respected their intellect enough to know that they could sit Moses down, get him some community help from Ur and Aaron, and hold his hands up. In other words, I'm gonna fight your battle coming out, but I ain't fighting all of your battles by myself. I'm not going to sit around here and make your life work simply for you, but I'm going to make it work through you. We are going to partner to defeat the enemy. And if you think you're going to sit around, hardly pray, hardly fast, hardly think, hardly work things out, want to sit at home and me drop you off an envelope of blessing, the devil is a liar. You're going to get up, shake yourself, empower yourself with the mind I gave you, and tell the devil, it's my time to shine. Oh, I feel something pushing me here. I feel it here. Have I told you, touch your neighbor yet? It's coming. We find out in the society that itself then is subject to a higher power. And that now is what we call ontological responsibility. And that is, there are moral limits to power. You can't build a tower into heaven because God has divided. He's saying, you ain't getting to heaven without me. You see, man would go if he could, but God said, you got to come through me to get there. I want to take you now to Abraham as I move to Moses. The first words of God to Moses, to Abraham, is leave your land. I want you to leave the place of your birth, leave your father's house. Now, this is your personal responsibility. I want you to leave some things that you think are so important to your destiny. One writer puts it like this, and I quote, Abraham is commanded to relinquish everything that leads human beings to see their acts as not their own, unquote. Now, who else but a higher power can say to me, I don't care how you came in this world, I'm going to hold you responsible for how you come out. Because so often we want to blame everybody and everything for the condition we find ourselves in. And as the world begins to move even faster and at a more rapid pace, because the outside of the world is changing quicker than we're changing on the inside. And anytime you allow man to have more destructive weapons on the outside than he has cultivated, culture and character on the inside, you are heading for great destruction. If you're going to be wicked and mean on the inside, we don't need your brain to discover nuclear weapons. We would rather have you with bow and arrows so you can't kill as many folk with your mean heart and your smart head as you can with nuclear weapons. I hope somebody's with me. You think that your father is the reason you're that way, and your mama is the reason you're that way. But here's what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to leave your land. Now, here's what Karl Marx said. Karl Marx held that behavior is determined by structures in society among which land ownership is the principle. And here's what God said. Leave your land. Whatever you think is forming you into who you are, Abraham, I want you to leave your land. Now, Spinoza believed that human conduct is given by instincts we acquire at birth. Now, that's genetic determinism. My mama's mama was this way, and my daddy's daddy was this way, and it's come down through many generations. So I really can't help my temper, and nobody in my family ever became anything. And I remember where I grew up. I grew up in the worst part of town.
Well, we want to thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of Saturday with the Word. We will be back with you on the fourth Saturday. We're here the second and the fourth Saturday, Saturday with the Word. Thank you for tuning in. That was Rise Up and Shine. Doesn't matter what you've been through in the past. It doesn't matter what it is. We want to encourage you to know it is your time to shine for the glory of God. God bless everyone. Again, this is Prophetess Teresa Docks, and I'm excited and delighted to be your host tonight. Rest in Him. God bless you all. If you need to contact the ministry, you can call us at area code 312-574-0212. Stay in that place of glory. God bless you, and have a wonderful, blessed weekend.